Chris knew that I didn't know how to operate that thing, so he operates it for me. Country boys are not up on this high tech that we're using nowadays, so we've got to catch up. And when we get old, we forget things too as well. Enjoyed being with you today, and we talked about two things that were very negative, and I don't enjoy doing that any more than anybody else, but there comes a time that we need to understand that there are many bad examples in the Bible as there are good examples. When you think about Ahab, what do you think about? When you think about Jezebel, what do you think about? When you think about Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, what do you think about? When you think about Judas, what do you think about? When you think about Demas, what do you think about? The Bible is filled with bad examples as well as good examples, and I think we need to study both. Sometimes we get prone to thinking about just the good examples. But I remember seeing a church sign a number of years ago that some people are just born to be bad examples. And you wonder about that. It seems like that seems to be the case. This morning we talked about sin, and Paul indicated that the law was given that sin might be undressed, that sin might appear as sin indeed, that it might be exceedingly sinful, that we might get a bad view of sin and what it can do to us. So we need to understand that sin will destroy us and separate us from God. And then the second lesson, we decided to leave that and go on to what sin finally leads to. It leads to God's wrath. That God put Adam and Eve out of the garden. He put a plague, we might say, upon Cain, that Cain says, "My punishment's greater than I can bear." We know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. We know what happened during the flood. And God's wrath. But as we mentioned this morning, many people think that's the Old Testament and that God is a different God. In the New Testament, God is a God of love. God is the same in the New Testament as He was in the Old Testament. And I want to impress that idea in your head tonight, that grace and love and kindness and mercy is not just something that we read about in the New Testament. That God changed His nature and decided to be merciful and kind. It's a part of the Old Testament as well, and we need to realize that. Jesus started out, as we read just a moment ago, in Matthew chapter 22, of the Father inviting the people to a wedding for His Son, and that some of the people refused to go. That is, they rejected His goodness. They rejected His kindness. He's talking about the grace of the God in heaven that opened up His house and invited servants in to join with His Son. Do we as Christians understand that one day Jesus will turn the kingdom back over to God and we'll sit down with God and with His Son and feast together? And that seems unusual, but the other side of that is the fact that Jesus will be just as happy to have us there as God will be. He's invited us home. He's given us an invitation. Sometimes when we talk about the gospel, and when we talk about the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we need to understand that it's good news. It's not good news to the world because they don't see the dangers of sin. They can't see the wrath of God. They're not reading their Bibles. And if they do see that, they push it aside. When in reality, we see how bad sin is. And we see the wrath of God and that God has invited us out of that. Then it's the good news. And that's wonderful. And until we see that, we'll not understand how good the news really is. And I think that's the fascinating thing in Acts chapter 2. As we mentioned this morning, as Peter said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, can you imagine hearing that you not only killed an innocent man, but that you had killed the Son of God? And they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? I doubt they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? I think they were convicted. I think they were deeply concerned. And the good news that they're going to hear is the good news that you need to hear. And all of us that have heard it in the past need to keep in our mind. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with many other words, to exhort and testify, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now God has invited you home. Accept His invitation and save yourself. That's the good news. I don't care what you've done or where you've been. You can repent and make your life straight and become a child of God. Be married to the groom and you be the bride. I don't deserve that. That's exactly right. None of us deserve that. And we need to understand that and understand it well. But back to the idea that God just didn't change in the New Testament. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace is unmerited favor. He built an ark, but he didn't merit that. He just did what God asked him to do. We understand again that Rahab, who was she? She was a harlot. Did she deserve the grace of God? No. We need to think about that as we look back and go over all that together. Nineveh. That city was so ungodly, Jonah didn't want to go and preach to them. But God was kind to them and saved them because they accepted His invitation. He said, in 40 days, I'm going to destroy it. They believed that and accepted His invitation to change. We need to understand that grace is an Old Testament theory as well as it's something that comes from God and always has been a part of His nature and always will be unless we violate Him. The psalmist David, after he committed his sin, I want you to listen to Psalms 51, what he has to say. Just listen to him. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I committed this evil. David, I thought now you're begging what? Grace. You're begging for mercy. That's what God was in the Old Testament. Exactly like God is in the New Testament. He's loving, kind. He's tender in mercy. Now David said, I've sinned against you. And you only. David, I thought you sinned against Bathsheba. David, I thought you sinned against Uriah. But really, sin is not against your neighbor. It's against God. Now, you may sin against your neighbor, and you may need to go and straighten it out. But sin is between you and God. It violates God's nature. David knew that, and he's pleading for mercy. God was merciful to David. Now notice again, did these people deserve God's mercy? Did Rahab the harlot deserve? Many people have tried to deny she was a harlot. Many Bible scholars have tried to explain all that away. Friend, did she deserve it? Did Nineveh deserve it? No. Did Israel, when God was kind to them and during the days of the judges and they turned around, did they deserve it? No. Go back beyond that, if you will. When God promised through Joshua that he would give the city of Jericho unto them, did Israel deserve that land? Why, they complained even before they left out of Egypt. When they came to the Red Sea, they were complaining. Would to God that we had died down in Egypt. After they passed through the Red Sea again, they complained over and over again. Complained about the water, they complained about the food. When the time came for them, the spies go up and look at the land. They said, we're but grasshoppers in their sight. You know what God can do with grasshoppers? See, they didn't trust God. They didn't trust God. Did they deserve it? No, they didn't deserve it. But God said, I'm going to give it to you. It's a gift. God gave it to them. Did Paul deserve to be saved after killing Christians? You imagine taking a Christian woman to prison and later having her killed, a mother of children? One of the members of Rock Church said one time, said, when Paul said he was the chief of sinners, is that so? I said, the thing that really matters, that's the way he felt. And that feeling inside of him committed him to do what God wanted him to do. He never forgot that. Friends, we need to never forget what we've done. God may forget it, but we need to remember so that we don't get caught in that trap again. And we remember how much God has forgiven us. We'll be more dedicated to do what God wants us to do. Did they deserve it? No. Do I deserve it? No. When my daddy was dying in the past few years of his life, he'd say, son, I've been so mean. Will God forgive me? I said, Daddy, you've got everything that I've got. God said he would, and that's all I've got. What assurance do I have that God will forgive me? God said he would. That's all I've got. That's enough. When God speaks, things happen. Well, I want to ask you a question. Was it a gift? When you think about these people in the Old Testament, was it a gift to Rahab that she and her family were saved? Absolutely. It was a gift. The fact that God didn't destroy Nineveh, was it a gift? Yes. When Israel marched around the walls of Jericho, 6 days, once a day, the seventh day, seven times, and the wall came down, was it a gift? Yes. It was a gift. God gave them the city. I'm afraid sometimes we forget the idea of a gift in confusion. When a person graduates from high school or college, we give them a gift. What'd they do for that? Well, it's just out of the goodness of your heart. Because you appreciate what they've done, that you give them a gift. When a person gets married, you give them a wedding gift. Did they deserve it? I have a friend that graduated from Western Kentucky and then later married. And he said, when we got married, he said, everybody gave us gifts. He said, what is this for? I still love him for that statement. That people loved him enough to give he and his wife a gift. And he mentioned it recently to me. And they have two children. He can't get over the fact that he was given wedding gifts. Some event had happened. And we notice again concerning anniversary gifts. What have you done to deserve it? Now, the wife may have done a lot to deserve it, but that's beside the point. What do you give them a gift for? Because you love them. You appreciate them. Appreciate the example that they set. But it's a gift. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about salvation. Young boy went away to college, and he said, Granddaddy had money. He said, Granddaddy, I'm going to need a car. He said, Son, make good grades and read your Bible, and I'll give you a car. Well, the boy came back home my first year, and he said, Granddaddy, he said, I need a car. He said, Son, what did I tell you? He said, you told me to make good grades. I've made good grades. He said, I also told you to read your Bible. Did you read it? He said, yes. He said, Son, there's a check in that Bible for a new car. There's a gift in the Bible if we'll just read it. There's a gift there if we'll just read it. God's wanting to give us something if we'll do what he's asked to do. The gospel is found in the Bible. The good news that you don't have to be destroyed by the wrath of God. That's the good news. You've got an opportunity to go to heaven. You can live here in Springfield, live the Christian life, and go to heaven when you die. That makes you rich. Nobody on earth has got more than that. I want to ask you a question. Talking about grace in the Old Testament, grace in the New Testament. What would happen if those people had not obeyed him? What if Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord? And Noah said, wait a minute, that's a big boat. I don't see any need of me building a boat. Would he have been saved? Those righteous, he had faith in God. And his faith was a trusting, obedient faith that he obeyed God and built that boat. Rahab had heard what happened to the people that were enemies of Israel, and she hid the spies. And they told her, this cord that you let us down by, you hang it in your window, and when we see the cord, we'll save everybody in your house. Suppose she had forgotten to put the cord. I suppose she said, this cord's got nothing to do with salvation. Have you ever heard of anybody being saved by a cord? I think I'll just not hang it outside the window. What would have happened? What would have happened if the people of Nineveh had not repented? What would have happened to Rahab if her parents had left the house? You know what would have happened. Did they earn their deliverance? No. They didn't earn their deliverance, and we need to understand that. We need to go back to Romans 5 and verse 8. And it bothers me when people read the book of Romans. They describe the book of Romans as the gospel according to the Apostle Paul. Friends, the gospel has already been preached. People have already been saved. That's not the issue here that he's talking about. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. Listen to it. Let's just begin with verse 6, Romans 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do we deserve it? No. And we need to get that clear in our mind. That's not what Paul's talking about in the book of Romans. Grace has already existed. Mercy is a part of God's nature. The book of Romans is dealing with the fact the Jews are saying no. Exactly what Jonah said to Nineveh. They don't deserve it. They're ungodly people. But God has the right to extend his mercy, his grace, to whoever he decides. And if God sent Paul to the Gentiles, that's his right as God. That's his divine right. God is God, and who are we to question him? And that's what the Jews did, exactly what Jonah did. That's why Jonah ran away. He said, God don't save those people. They're mean people. That's why he ran from God. We need to understand that the meanest people on the face of God's earth can be saved. People in prisons across the country are being baptized. You want them to go to hell? God doesn't want them. God is not slack concerning his promises. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Christ died for us when we were still in our sins. And we need to understand that he has that right to go back and invite into his family whoever he pleases. They talk about being saved by grace or faith only in the book of Romans. If that's the case, look at Romans 1 and verse 5. And then we'll go to the last chapter in the book of Romans and watch it, what he has to say. By whom we have received grace and apostleship. Paul said, by the grace of God, I'm a Christian, I'm an apostle. Now watch him. For the obedience to the faith. Faith is something that we obey. Faith is something that causes us to trust God and obey him among all nations for his name. Now look the way the book of Romans closes in chapter 16. And we see basically the same thing. Listen to him again, if you will. And this is in next to the last verse in the book. Listen to him. But now is made manifest, verse 26, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. When you learn about God, you obey Him. Now, he didn't talk about something in the middle of the book of Romans and forget what he said at the beginning and forget what he said at the end. He's talking about obedience. And he said that Gentiles obey God, they'll be saved just like you will. God shows his grace to them as well as to you. Paul's not teaching anything here that wasn't taught in the book of Acts. Or even Jesus taught, as we notice in Matthew chapter 22. It is throughout the Bible, and we notice that. Do we earn it? No, sir. Did Israel earn it? No, sir. Did Paul earn it? No, sir. That's not the question. Now the question is, can we refuse the gift of God? Now that's where we started tonight in reading Matthew chapter 22. That here is a king, his son's getting married, he sends out invitations and they refuse. Can you refuse God's grace? Absolutely. How do you accept it? You accept it by believing in obedience. A preacher of mine up in Kentucky told me, he said, I wouldn't mind somebody saying that they were saved by faith only if they will let me use the Bible to describe faith. Because faith is obedience. Doing what God asks you to do. If somebody offered you $1 million tonight and you really thought they were serious, would you refuse it? God offers you salvation. Would you refuse it? Absolutely not. And so we need to understand, we can refuse the gift. Let's turn over again to 1 Peter 5 and verse 10 and read again. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. Now, Peter's teaching the same thing that Paul taught and the same thing that he taught in the book of Acts. Watch him. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he suffered a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen you. See? Establish and strengthen you. That's what we've got to do. We've got to grow in grace. Look again, if you will, over 2 Thessalonians, this time 2 and verse 14. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. God calls us. We've been called by God. But the question is, how are we called? Look in verse 14. Whereunto, Paul said, he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. What appeal did God make? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We read about the wrath of God. Now God extends his invitation to us by the gospel to come out of that. We are called, but called by the preaching of God's good news. That's the gospel. And we need to understand that. It is God's gift to mankind. Refuse it if you want to. But it's quite a penalty when you look God in the face and say, I'm not going to do it. Certainly we're saved by faith. When you turn over to the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter, you notice a number of things. As you begin to read concerning that, listen, if you will, in about verse 30. He said, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. After what? After they compassed about 7 days. What made the wall? Faith in God, and God reacting to them following His instruction, God brought the walls down. Some people have tried to explain that away, that perhaps the footprints and all the jarring of the soldiers marching around the city caused the wall to fall. We try to explain everything away and won't believe anything. Look again in verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not when she had received the spies with peace. By faith, Rahab was saved. What did she have to do? She put the cord outside the window. Does that mean she deserved it? No, sir. Not in any way. And so we need to understand that. The blessings that God has to give us, we must hear it, we must believe it, and we must react to it. You don't come as you are. When you finish up the reading in Matthew chapter 22, the king saw a man there that didn't have on a wedding garment. I don't know why the religious people have missed that. They say, come as you are and go to heaven as you are. No, you come as you are, you're going to hell. The gospel changes your life as it changed the Apostle Paul's life. They didn't trust him when he came to Jerusalem. Ananias didn't trust him. He knew his past. But the good news had changed his life. And he was willing to die for what he believed. Friends, we need to understand that God is good. God is gracious. And God is kind. But you can't spit in his face and tell him no. That God gave His Son for you. If that doesn't touch you, there's not a thing in the world that'll ever touch you. God gave His Son for you. That's the good news. So that you would not have to go to hell and be lost forevermore. Now that good news is what draws people to God. When the eunuch came and learned what the prophet was talking about, and when Philip explained it to him, he preached unto him Jesus, and what happened? He said, well, I didn't know I had a free gift. No, he didn't. He said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? You know, there's just a lot of people, and why I don't understand, they question baptism. Believing and trusting in God is difficult sometimes. Repenting of our sins just turns life around. It just pulls at our strings. It hurts. We don't want to give up and we don't want to start something new. How hard repentance is. And then to stand before a group of people and confess that Jesus is Son of God. But to be baptized is the easiest thing in the world. And why people question that? I've never understood it. The jailer in the same hour of the night. Why would anybody ever refuse that God has chosen that. It didn't come from man. It didn't come from what you think, some Church of Christ preacher. You can tell it came from God because too many people reject it. Not all that difficult. Theologies are cemeteries, are seminaries where they bury the truth, has caused people to question baptism. Have you ever thought that all the people that John baptized, nobody questioned baptism? Have you ever thought that when you read the book of Acts, nobody said, well, why be baptized? Or what's it for anyway? We as a member of the church need to be so grateful and so thankful that God has required so little for us to finally get into His family. Our belief, we keep letting that grow and struggle with that. Our repentance, it's a daily affair. Our confession, we confess people every day. With baptism, you do it one time. And I don't know why people question that. Maybe that some of you have become Christians and fallen away. John said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a God. What a God that be willing to forgive us. Friends, that's the good news we have tonight. And the good news is that when you're a child of God, you're a son of God, and that God cares about you, and that when you do something wrong, you can go to Him in prayer and be forgiven of your sins and start life over again. What it is and how rich it is to be a child of God, to have the grace of God, and to know that when this life is over, I'll fly away. And you better be sure your wings are right with God. I'm afraid some people are going to come to the end of their life ready to fly away and their wings won't work. They're not going to make it. But when I think about meeting Him in the air, and so shall I ever be with the Lord, comfort one another with these words. That's the comfort of the grace of God, the mercy of God that extends to all of us. Will you come if you're subject to invitation? While together we stand and sing.